أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، بارئ الخلائق أجمعين، ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا حبيب قلوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا وشفيع ذنوبنا أبي القاسم مصطفى محمد صلى الله عليه وآله أجمعين وأصحابه المنتجبين. أما بعد، قال الله تعالى في كتابه الكريم: لقد كان لكم في رسول الله أسوة حسنة. In the name of Allah, the most merciful, the most gracious. Respectable audience, distinguished listeners, honorable viewers, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Today, God willing, we are going to touch some of the doubts raised against inerrancy or infallibility of the divine prophets. You know that in the previous lecture, we talked about the necessity in the arguments which backed the concept of divine prophets' infallibility. So there are some doubts raised against the concept. Some of the people say that if infallibility or inerrancy means that God Almighty immunizes the divine prophets and messengers from committing sins or make them avoid committing, perpetrating major sins and minor sins, so they should not deserve any reward. For everyone, if everyone or anyone who replaces them, they will also have the same condition in the same situation. In another word, they say that the infallible prophets should not deserve any reward, for they avoid committing sins they are not doing by their own choices. It is not their own choices. It is not their own optional aspects of life that they are committing. Rather, it is something supernatural, a strength that stops them committing sins. Today, God willing, we are going to treat this and other problems raised against the concept of infallibility of the divine prophets. So, respectable audience and distinguished listeners, the response that can be given to this problem or doubt is this: when the divine prophets know that Almighty Allah is their protector, this knowledge does not make them that they should be devoid of their optional and volitional aspects. It does not mean that they should be deprived of their optional and volitional aspects. In another word, the knowledge we have, it does not make us obliged. It does not enforce us that we have to do some certain acts. For example, we do really understand that committing certain sins or committing certain mistakes might hamper our progress, might prevent our development. But again, volitionally and willingly, we do that. There are many criminals in the courts that they confess that we have done all these mistakes willingly, intentionally, knowing the bitter consequences, knowing the bitter impacts that would leave behind. So, absolutely, knowledge does not make or oblige one that he has to take his steps forward forcefully. This is the first response that can be given. It means that the divine prophets, though have precise and certain knowledge about Almighty Allah's overwhelming presence and about the bitter impacts and consequences that their mistakes would entail, but again, in ordinary condition, it does not bring us infallibility. In the case we discuss, we should say that the divine prophets, though have knowledge, but it does not necessitate this, that they should be obliged in their volitional acts. They are taking themselves. They themselves decide to do. They themselves decide to, for example, avoid committing sins. It is not something external force that they have to be forcefully taken away from committing sins. As we defined inerrancy or infallibility as a faculty, a self-control and self-restraint faculty that stems from within one. So when this is an internal faculty, it does not mean that it should come from outside. So it means that the reward should be given to the divine prophets for what they do. Another important point should be mentioned that the more one's responsibility is, the more one's responsibility is heavier, that much the reward will be bigger and that much will be heavier. The case can be vice versa. It means the more one's responsibility is there. If he commits sin or if he violates, if he is not successful in doing those heavy responsibilities, that much he will be rebuked, that much his punishments will be of greater scale and size. For example, there is a verse of the Holy Quran in Surah Hujarat. Almighty Allah says, addressing the divine prophets' wives, saying that, O wives of the prophets, you and your position is not tantamount and similar to the rest of ordinary wives. It means the position you hold, that is different because of the relation you have with my messenger. So this relation makes your responsibility heavier. It makes you that you have to be more cautious, more heedful of the steps you're taking in personal and social life. So, respectable audience, the more one's responsibility, the greater his reward and punishment will be. There are a great deal of traditions. All are in respect with the high status a clergyman, a faithful and honest clergyman deserves and possesses. But again, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam says that in the doomsday, some 70 mistakes of an ignorant person will be forgiven, but one of the mistakes of the ulama and a very honest intellectual would be forgiven because Almighty Allah would rebuke him for not being successful in implementing those do's and don'ts in his practical life. So there is an equilibrium, there is a balance. Being the wife of the Holy Prophet is a very good and dignified position and status. So that much the wife of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, or the rest of the divine prophets should be cautious, should be heedful, should have precautionary steps so that her reckless actions should not jeopardize the status of the divine prophet. It makes her that she should receive double reward or double punishment. So the divine prophet's status seems so. That much that their status in their position is high, in lofty and sublime, that much there is a risk that if they fall, that much they would scatter, that much they will not be surviving. For example, there is a skyscraper building. The more you go up, the more danger will be there. The lower you are, that much danger will be weaker. So in respect with the divine prophets, there are some verses in the Holy Quran. And there is another doubt that, for example, there is a verse of the Holy Quran that says, لَإِنْ أَشْرَكْتَ لَيَحْبَطَنَّ عَمَلُكَ. It means that if you associate a partner to Almighty Allah, all your deeds will be wiped out. All your deeds will be removed. Some of the people say that how the Holy Prophet is infallible and he receives such kind of wording from the divinity. Isn't he infallible? If he is, so how this is possible that he has to receive such kind of addressing? The response to this question is that, firstly, Almighty Allah directly addresses Almighty Allah's messengers. It means that the divine messengers are also included in the realm of being dutiful. All the human beings are dutiful. All the human beings, making no difference, he should be the prophet, the son of the prophet, making no difference at all. Or you are also given the same duty of being a good servant of mine, the same as other human beings are given this duty, that they should also serve my pleasure. There is no exception in this general and common call that Almighty Allah makes, that all the human beings are dutiful. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. All the jinn and all the ins, the human beings, are dutiful to worship Almighty Allah. So Almighty Allah says that you should not associate any other partner to me. And he who does so, he who associates other partner to divinity, so his words or his works, his actions will be wiped out. His actions will not remain intact. No, his actions will be removed. Almighty Allah says that though you have a very dignified and lofty position being the divine prophet, but again be careful that association or shirk is that much heavy, that much great and grave, that if you prophet does so, though actually you have not done, but if you do so, your works will not remain intact. This is very much important. The second response that we can have in the second interpretation from this verse of the Holy Quran and alike this verse, we have, that is this, that actually Almighty Allah tries to address the human beings. But he does not address the human beings, rather he addresses his messenger, implying this important concept that Almighty Allah does not forgive, Almighty Allah does not overlook association, even if it comes from his holy prophet. If it is not forgiven from the divine prophet, so how it should be forgiven from the rest of the human beings? So, respectable audience and distinguished listeners, this was the response that we provided you for the doubt that was raised against the inerrancy of the divine prophets. There are also some other problems. For example, some of the people say that why there is a verse of the Holy Quran that says, so it was the divine prophet, one of the divine prophets, that he forgot or he did not do what he was ordered. Particularly that is coming about Adam and Eve, alayhim as-salam. There are many detailed responses, but briefly, one of them is to be touched here. that firstly, when we say that if they disobeyed, they did not disobey the divine commandments, they divide order and imperatives. I mean, they divide imperatives and orders or does and don'ts into two kinds. Some of those imperatives and orders are irshadi, and some are called yes, maulawi. It means that some of those commandments have this form, have this fashion, that they are like religious orders. For example, Almighty Allah has ordered all the believers that they should not kill other one. So it means that disobeying this order is taboo and forbidden. What we have claimed in errancy of the divine prophets, we say that the divine prophets do not do or do not commit mistakes, and they do not violate the religious does and don'ts. So the question might arise that what about when they were taken away from the heaven, from the paradise, though they were told that they should not eat, for example, the tree or that wheat, but again, when they ate, when they consumed, they were expelled from the paradise. The theologians say that it was not a Maulawi commandment. Rather, it was an amr or an order that Almighty Allah has said that it is better that you should not eat. Otherwise, these will be the circumstances, these will be the consequences you will face existentially and eventually. But when Adam alayhi salam ate, he has faced with those existential consequences of this disobedience. But actually, it was not an order. In another word, infallibility contradicts an order that has a religious form. If the order is not having a religious form, it is not an Amr Maulawi, so this order, this infallibility can be taken together, can match with that one. Another response that is also developed in this respect, they say, that world was not the world of responsibilities. So prior that, we did not have legislation. The world differs. The world is very much different. Yes, in this world, after coming in this world, yes, the divine prophets should not commit sin or they should not disobey Almighty Allah's orders. But prior coming in this world, the world was not the world of responsibilities, so it makes no difference. It does not harm their inerrancy or their infallibility. So, respectable audience, another doubt that has been raised in respect with the divine prophets' infallibility is their being affected by the Satan's. How is it possible that the Satan should influence the divine prophet while they are infallible? There are many cases in the Holy Quran that says that the Satan wanted to tempt them, wanted to deceive them. Is it possible or not? And how is it in line or in agreement with the divine prophet's infallibility? So, respectable audience and distinguished listeners, you know that the satanic temptations are always effective on the human beings, save those who are the most sincere servants of Almighty Allah. Those who have been and are the most sincere servants of Almighty Allah, they would not be derailed by the satanic temptations, by the satanic persuasions or personifications. the satanic temptations would not affect those who are mukhlas, those who are the most sincere and honest servants of Almighty Allah. So the prophets, being the most sincere servants of Almighty Allah, they would remain immune from these satanic temptations. Even the same protection that they have, some are derived from their own deep knowledge of Almighty Allah, and some are for sure because of Almighty Allah's protection, that the revelation should remain safe and sound, and the divine prophets should firstly remember, secondly keep them, and thirdly convey them for the people in a very safe and sound manner. Why? Because Almighty Allah has this objective that the human beings should reach their evolution and perfection. So if the Satan was free to do whatever he wished, even if he could, for example, drill the divine prophets, for sure it was against the objectives Almighty Allah has designed. Because Almighty Allah said that sending the prophets are due to this, that they should guide the rest of the human beings. Because of this, Almighty Allah says that from now on, I will stop that the Satan should penetrate in the heavens and have or should listen to the words that are told in the heaven. In my shahab, there are some stars that follow these Satans, and they will be destroyed by Almighty Allah's will, by Almighty Allah's different types and forms of army that Almighty Allah has. So, dear listeners, having said all these doubts and their related responses, you are requested that you have to refer to the most detailed theological books so that you have to gain your own convincing answers. These were some clues that I have clicked your mind in, and inshallah you will be doing yourselves. May God bless us all, purity, eternity, and a very happy life in the life hereafter. May God bless you all. Thank you very much. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.